Good morning, everybody. It's Van Molyneux from Free Domain. Hope you're doing well. So, of course, there does seem to be rather a bit of hysteria at the moment among some of the fairer sexist circles, in that women seem to genuinely believe that they're losing their rights, that they're losing, with the election of Donald Trump, they're losing their rights. And it seems to be something that is very true and very vivid. And I'm just here to tell you what's going on with some real sympathy. So, men, if a law was passed that said you could only date women with a BMI of 30 or more, like some significantly overweight women, or you could only date women who were 45 and older, then you would get very upset, right? You would get very upset. If you could only date women who were extremely tall or extremely short or whatever it is that you would find some sort of negative physical characteristic, but probably the one that's most vivid is the obesity one. So if a law was passed that said you were only allowed to date women who were obese, you'd be very upset. You'd be very upset because your preferences that you have would no longer be achievable. If you wanted a slender woman, you wouldn't be allowed to date a slender woman. You'd have to date an obese woman. So you'd be upset. If a law was passed for men, like let's say you've got some money, and if a law was passed for men that said you were never allowed to spend any money on dates, you had to pretend that you were broke, right? You'd have to pretend that, well, we're just going to go for a walk, maybe we'll get something from a hot dog stand. Like if there was a law that was passed that said you're only allowed to spend $10 or $20 on a date, and you're not allowed to have a nice car, you're not allowed to have nice clothes, you're not allowed to display your wealth in any particular way, that would be frustrating. Like you would feel like, well, I mean, I have this money. I want to spend some money on some dates, like to impress the woman, like to show my competence and so on. Well, that would be frustrating for you. If you had to date overweight women, if you couldn't spend any money on dates, that would significantly lower the quality of the women that you were able to date. So just so you understand. So this is what women are experiencing because they've been told that, I mean, it's really, really toxic and dangerous nonsense. So the women have been told that ectopic pregnancies are now illegal, that you're going to be prosecuted for having a miscarriage, that you can't get health care in the event of a pregnancy problem, which is all false. It's all false. Or that if they get raped, they'll have to bring the baby to term. And again, I'm no lawyer, but as far as I understand it, if you get raped and you go to the hospital, of course, we have massive sympathy for such a trauma, then you would get a morning after pill to prevent pregnancy and so on. So there's lots of sort of choices and options. And it is really, it's terrible to tell women that they can't get health care if they have an ectopic pregnancy or if they have a miscarriage that they can't get. I mean, that's just not true. And it does prevent women. Some women will not go for health care because they're afraid of legal problems and they thus won't get the health care that they need in these difficult and sometimes, well, ectopic is quite dangerous, I think, but miscarriage is very unpleasant and can be, of course, medically problematic. So women believe that they can't get abortions and they risky pregnancies and so on will not be treated, which is, again, not true as far as I know. So what that means is that women will not be able to subsidize their sexual market value with sexual access. And therefore, they will have uncovered before them. And, you know, vanity is a thing. I mean, I have some, I'm sure you have some. And finding out where we actually stand in the pecking order can be a rather brutal wake-up call, right? I mean, how attractive am I really, right? I mean, I think I'm all that in a slice of bread, but let's find out how attractive I am. Like we have this in the business world, we think we're worth a lot, but then we actually have to go and negotiate salary. We find out the truth about how much we're worth to others and so on, right? So for women, they are in the mental process of evaluating themselves. And of course, it's not all women. It's probably not even many women, but those who are making the most noise at the moment. They're going through the process and they're saying in their heart of hearts, I'm now going to find out the men who will marry me versus the men who will sleep with me, right? They're going to go and find out, or they're in the process of finding out, what are the qualities of the men who will marry them rather than the men who will just sleep with them? Because if a man is a 9 and a woman is a 5, the man may very well sleep with her, but he's not going to become her boyfriend. He's not going to marry her. And I'm not just talking about looks. This could be other qualities as well. So when women are complaining that they're losing their rights, then what they are complaining about is that they are, that their right, in a sense, to, or their capacity to access more attractive men through subsidizing, quote, relationships with sexual access is being threatened. It's the same thing if welfare or alimony and so on were threatened or were diminished in some manner, then women would be bringing less money to the table. And so for some women, bringing that money to the table can allow them to get access to a more attractive male, right? So really, if you want to know that the hysteria that's going on is the hysteria of, and it's a humiliating thing because, I mean, women don't feel very good deep down about getting men to sleep with them but not commit to them. It's an enraging, frustrating, you know, women are complaining all the time. You know, I thought we had it, we went on a couple of dates, it was great, and then he just ghosted me. They just get really frustrated and angry and upset, and I completely understand that. I completely understand that. I mean, it's like a man who, let's say he's very, very wealthy and he pays for really fun activities for all of his friends, and then they don't stick around. It turns out they weren't really his friends. Oh, they were just here for the money. And they're just because I flew them to, I don't know, Cabo San Lucia, I flew them to the Turks and Caicos, and we had a fantastic weekend of wakeboarding and partying, and I paid for everyone, and I paid for the flights and the hotels and the, right? And then let's say he falls upon hard times and then his friends don't stick around. He's frustrated and he's bitter, and he's finding out how many people like him versus how many people like his money, right? I'm trying to give it sort of on the male equivalent so we can have some sympathy for this this process. So if we gave average-looking men $3 million when they turned 18, right, then they would be able to spend a lot of money, they'd be able to have a lot of fun, and they'd be able to attract more attractive women, in part through the resources. And then if we took that money away, and the young man, rather than having millions and millions of dollars, he would actually have to attract women and friends through the quality of his character, his personality, and so on, he'd be frustrated, and there would be a sense of terror at the base of his soul. We all, I mean, I can obviously speak for myself, we all have to go through this process of how valuable am I really, as opposed to what I, you know, we all daydream, we're all going to be, you know, I don't know, astronauts and superstars and all these sorts of things. I had, of course, my own ambitions and dreams and fantasies about things as a kid. And then we all have to get sorted in the actual pecking order of life, right? We go out with big plans and ideals and dreams, and then we get sorted into the actual thing. So women, unfortunately, in the modern world, and it's very bad for both men and women, they can have, in a sense, consequence-free sexuality. In other words, the sexuality that is designed to pair bond humans with the goal of creating a stable marriage in which to raise children, right? The purpose of human sexuality is to pair bond people to create stable marriages for the purposes of raising children. Being raised in a stable two-parent household is by far, like almost infinitely, the best for children. So the purpose of human sexuality is pair bonding for the sake of raising children, and to use it recreationally for your own vanity, or to use it to, I don't know, be flown around the world so you can have fun travel because men are sexually interested in you, to use it to subsidize your vanity, to say, oh, here's a picture of the guy I'm dating, look how handsome he is, look how successful he is, and then getting embittered and ghosting and so on because the man moves on because he's just sleeping with you, he's not committing to you. That whole process is really tough. I mean, it's a tough but necessary process to find out where you stand in the actual pecking order. You may recall, if you've been around for a while, I went through this a couple of years ago. And it's a necessary and healthy process to find out what your actual value is. So just so you know, when women feel like they're having their rights taken away and they gravitate quite a bit towards any potential restrictions on abortion, then what is happening deep down is that women are confronting in their heart of hearts the gap between the men who will sleep with them, who can be very attractive, and I'm not necessarily saying high quality, but in terms of like status and money and looks, they're saying, what is the gap between the men who will sleep with me and the men who will get down on one knee with a ring and propose to me? And that gap can be quite large. And if you have attuned your entire reproductive strategy to high-value men that you get as the result of subsidizing the, quote, relationship with sexuality, then if that subsidy is threatened, right, if the subsidy which gets you up in the rank of sexual market value, if that is threatened, you really feel like a right is being taken away, that something is being stripped away from you, something is being taken from you, and it's really, really painful and difficult and frustrating and frightening to find out where you stand. Vanity is not a bad thing. I mean, it's good to have high ambitions, but we do have to adjust over time to what we can actually achieve rather than what we believe we can achieve or what is subsidized, right? And so that's why there's this vivid sense of rights being taken away. And it is a necessary adjustment to reality. For a woman, it is very important to find out not who will sleep with you, but who will marry you. And that is a very, very difficult process. If you can't subsidize, quote, relationships with sexual access, then you can get high quality men by becoming a high quality woman. And in terms of virtue and commitment and consistency and trust and honesty, and like you can definitely get high quality men, but you have to, rather than just subsidizing with sexuality, you have to become a high quality woman. And that is a tough journey. It's a tougher journey rather than offering up sex. It's tougher to be good than to provoke lust, right, through sexual displays. It's a necessary process. It's a process I sympathize with and I understand. But just by the by, if you're wondering what's going on at the moment, that's it. freedomain.com/donate if you'd like to help out the show. And I guess you can tell me how much I'm worth to you as well. So freedomain.com/donate. Thanks, Emil. Bye.